Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York, where it's been raining all day and night, and that could make for a messy morning commute for a lot of people in the Northeast. CBS News New York TV's Lisa Rosner has been watching the rainfall in Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Coastal flooding and beach erosion are very possible as onshore winds pile waves along the coast.
We're just getting a little worried because this is like the calm before the storm, and we've had this before with Hurricane Sandy.
Residents we spoke with say they are planning to leave for work early Monday morning, as there are roads here that do routinely flood.
And in Tennessee, the recovery is just beginning after deadly weekend tornadoes. Storms killed at least 6 people there. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez has talked to those in Hendersonville who survived the tornado by taking shelter in the basement of an antique store.
Those here are salvaging what they can, cleaning up, and taking stock.
We made it.
How grateful are you right now that you and your customers were okay?
God was with us the whole time. No doubt in my mind.
A 110-mile-per-hour F1 tornado touched down Sunday outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. The National Weather Service says it was on the ground for 4 minutes. There were no reports of injuries. Israel's relentless campaign against Hamas in Gaza is causing headaches for the Biden administration. Correspondent Christian Benavides.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken defended a move by the Biden administration to bypass Congress to sell nearly 14,000 rounds of tank ammunition to Israel while a foreign aid package is stalled.
A small portion of what has been requested is going through on an emergency basis.
A new CBS News poll shows most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war, with few thinking his administration's actions are bringing things closer to a peaceful resolution.
The president of the University of Pennsylvania resigns after testimony to Congress. When asked if anti-Semitic speech would violate school rules, Liz McGill said it was a context-dependent decision. Leaders of MIT and Harvard also testified. CBS's Nicole Killian.
MIT's board says it still stands by its president. Meantime, hundreds of Harvard faculty members have signed on to a letter opposing the removal of President Claudine Gay, according to a source familiar with it.
The U.S. military says an Air Force F-16 fighter jet has crashed into the sea off South Korea's southwestern coast. The military says the pilot was rescued after ejecting safely from the plane. The 8th Fighter Wing says the jet was on a routing training mission when it crashed. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/...
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York, where it's been raining all day and night, and that could make for a messy morning commute for a lot of people in the Northeast. CBS News New York TV's Lisa Rosner has been watching the rainfall in Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Coastal flooding and beach erosion are very possible as onshore winds pile waves along the coast.
We're just getting a little worried because this is like the calm before the storm, and we've had this before with Hurricane Sandy.
Residents we spoke with say they are planning to leave for work early Monday morning, as there are roads here that do routinely flood.
And in Tennessee, the recovery is just beginning after deadly weekend tornadoes. Storms killed at least 6 people there. CBS's Manuel Bojorca has talked to those in Hendersonville who survived the tornado by taking shelter in the basement of an antique store.
Those here are salvaging what they can, cleaning up, and taking stock.
We made it.
How grateful are you right now that you and your customers were okay?
God was with us the whole time, no doubt in my mind.
A 110-mile-per-hour F1 tornado touched down Sunday outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. The National Weather Service says it was on the ground for 4 minutes. There were no reports of injuries. Israel's relentless campaign against Hamas in Gaza is causing headaches for the Biden administration. Correspondent Christian Benavides.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken defended a move by the Biden administration to bypass Congress to sell nearly 14,000 rounds of tank ammunition to Israel while a foreign aid package is stalled.
A small portion of what has been requested is going through on an emergency basis.
A new CBS News poll shows most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war, with few thinking his administration's actions are bringing things closer to a peaceful resolution.
The president of the University of Pennsylvania resigns after testimony to Congress. When asked if anti-Semitic speech would violate school rules, Liz McGill said it was a context-dependent decision. Leaders of MIT and Harvard also testified. CBS's Nicole Killian.
MIT's board says it still stands by its president. Meantime, hundreds of Harvard faculty members have signed on to a letter opposing the removal of President Claudine Gay, according to a source familiar with it.
The U.S. military says an Air Force F-16 fighter jet has crashed into the sea off South Korea's southwestern coast. The military says the pilot was rescued after ejecting safely from the plane. The 8th Fighter Wing says the jet was on a routing training mission when it crashed. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/...
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York, where it's been raining all day and night, and that could make for a messy morning commute for a lot of people in the Northeast. CBS News New York TV's Lisa Rosner has been watching the rainfall in Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Coastal flooding and beach erosion are very possible as onshore winds pile waves along the coast.
We're just getting a little worried because this is like the calm before the storm, and we've had this before with Hurricane Sandy.
Residents we spoke with say they are planning to leave for work early Monday morning, as there are roads here that do routinely flood.
And in Tennessee, the recovery is just beginning after deadly weekend tornadoes. Storms killed at least 6 people there. CBS's Manuel Bojorca has talked to those in Hendersonville who survived the tornado by taking shelter in the basement of an antique store.
Those here are salvaging what they can, cleaning up, and taking stock.
We made it.
How grateful are you right now that you and your customers were okay?
God was with us the whole time, no doubt in my mind.
A 110-mile-per-hour F1 tornado touched down Sunday outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. The National Weather Service says it was on the ground for 4 minutes. There were no reports of injuries. Israel's relentless campaign against Hamas in Gaza is causing headaches for the Biden administration. Correspondent Christian Benavides.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken defended a move by the Biden administration to bypass Congress to sell nearly 14,000 rounds of tank ammunition to Israel while a foreign aid package is stalled.
A small portion of what has been requested is going through on an emergency basis.
A new CBS News poll shows most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war, with few thinking his administration's actions are bringing things closer to a peaceful resolution.
The president of the University of Pennsylvania resigns after testimony to Congress. When asked if anti-Semitic speech would violate school rules, Liz McGill said it was a context-dependent decision. Leaders of MIT and Harvard also testified. CBS's Nicole Killian.
MIT's board says it still stands by its president. Meantime, hundreds of Harvard faculty members have signed on to a letter opposing the removal of President Claudine Gay, according to a source familiar with it.
The U.S. military says an Air Force F-16 fighter jet has crashed into the sea off South Korea's southwestern coast. The military says the pilot was rescued after ejecting safely from the plane. The 8th Fighter Wing says the jet was on a routing training mission when it crashed. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/...
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Now they're doing this, it's not going to be a central...
Then what's the point?
Well, because it's going to take you from Chicago to Minneapolis. It's not just to Madison. It's going to be taking you through 3 states.
But then you're negating all those students that could take that train and get it into the city. I mean, I just think 45 minutes north of Madison, I think that's dumb.
Well,
I wouldn't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with you either, but do they have...
Well, that's going to need a new terminal.
Yeah, exactly.
And other things. But I would imagine as they are studying this... They will take that in. You would think they would take that into consideration.
Because if you go to Green Bay and Eau Claire, that's a boon for a lot of parents with their kids.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You put them on the train and you don't. Because my brother, he has 3 girls and they bleed red and white, that family, my brother's family. And I can't tell you how many times he drove to Madison. Back and forth and forth and back, yes, and back and forth. And it would just be so easy. You know, Juliet, Cosette, and Georgia, put them on the train with their suitcase and off you go.
Well, for me, I'm looking forward to it when it happens to go to Minnesota because I don't like driving to Minneapolis. It's not a great drive. It's boring. And
it's long.
I'd rather just take a train. Long. It'll probably add a couple hours onto the ride because this isn't high speed, is it?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
And again, you're going to be stopping you're going to stop in La Crosse, yeah, and you're going to stop.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's going to add a little time as opposed to driving. But just think about all the people who, especially young people, Calvin, I would think younger folks would be excited about the opportunity to not have to own a car.
Resident young people.
Resident young people.
Yeah. Well, and in addition, and I'm going to admit this to you, and you're going to, because we're going to be going into a topic coming up very soon about the liquor industry. But the one thing I loved about Amtrak was when we were taking a girls' weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We would sit on the train and drink wine. And then we'd get off the train and we'd grab a cab and we'd go to our hotel and woohoo! You know, it was trouble-free, you know? I mean, isn't that awful?
It's not. That's part of the reality of it. And I think just the traffic to Green Bay for games.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
To not have all those people on 41?
But does that train go to Green Bay?
Well, they're talking about expanding.
Okay, to Green Bay. Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the map I saw, if I'm not mistaken, goes up through Milwaukee, heading west up to Minneapolis, essentially. Because the whole thing is Chicago to Minneapolis. But yeah, I mean, we should, honestly, the fact that we don't have real dedicated train lines and great transit in this state is upsetting. It's sad. And when people complain about things like the hop, which is there.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Why?
It doesn't go anywhere.
Well, because it's going to be, though. That was the thing. That was the problem. Is I spoke to a supervisor about this. When they first unveiled it, they didn't tell people the plan. The plan was to expand. This is pre-COVID. Their plan was to expand it all over the city within 5 to 6 years. So you would be able to. Instead, they're like, here's this hop. And people were saying what you're saying. It takes you to like two places. But now they're starting to expand the lines and people will be able to use it as a method of transportation within the city with more accessibility and more choice.
I don't even think that they're going to get any ridership, to tell you the truth.
Well, okay. Well,
844-967.
I can't argue with that opinion. So
844-967-2789. Are you pro choo choo or anti choo? Price from Texas is joining us. Good morning, Price. How you doing?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. What do you think about expanding train service in Wisconsin?
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I was actually in Chicago when Walker killed the high-speed rail and sent all of our awesomely paid-for trains to Nigeria. And I used to take the Hiawatha from Milwaukee to Chicago and vice versa all the time. It was so easy, so fast, close to both downtowns. It was just one of the easiest rides, calm. You sit in a quiet car, you read a book, you look up, oh, you're in Chicago.
Yep.
And this whole thing just to hear for Texas, it is absolutely ridiculous that the only choices we have to get down to Austin or San Antonio or Houston is either driving or having to hop on an airplane. And I've driven it from Dallas down to Houston and San Antonio and Austin. There's nothing there.
Right.
People have complained about, and it's the same thing with Wisconsin. You know, there's big stretches of paralleling the highways where there's nothing there. You could lay track easily and take those cars off the road. Same thing. Well, Green Bay, I'm not sure other than game days, how efficient it would be. But my mom told me that there used to be a train going from the UP to Chicago twice a week.
Wow.
A passenger train. And they got rid of that. So, and just when the cars came, they said, we're not going to do this anymore. So I'm all for it. More trains. Trains mean transit. Transit means jobs. When Walker killed that, anything next to one of those train stations would have been a hub, would have been a retail, residential magnet.
Yep.
And that's all I got to say. But you guys have a great weekend. I'll keep listening.
Thanks a lot, Price. Have a great day. And by the way, if you see your attorney, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, tell him he's a terrible human being. 844-967-2789. We're going to be looking at expanding railroad lines across Wisconsin. Good thing, bad thing. We'll take your calls and your texts right after this. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Shaw WAUK radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Bar for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
All aboard!
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment on the live stream as well. We are talking about the news that we're going to be looking at expanding rail in Wisconsin, which I think is a wonderful thing. The five routes that they're looking at out of Milwaukee to Madison, they say there are more than 800,000 people along the I-41 corridor between Fond du Lac and Green Bay, and 160,000 plus residents in Eau Claire. They're estimating the expansion to Waukesha County, Madison, and Green Bay could attract 250,000 new riders within a decade, and by 2050, maybe 1.5 million.
I do love the idea that the caller brought up about getting half these cars off the road. You know, I mean, it not only is the congestion there, but then, you know, you negate all that, like all the emissions problems. And, you know, I know that they want us to go all electric, but I got to be honest with you. I can't see me making that leap.
No.
So I just think that if you can get on a train and let somebody else do the driving, why would you say no? It's not that expensive. What is it to get down to Chicago?
$22-25.
Yeah, I mean,
one way.
Right.
Yeah, that's a steal. Yeah. You spend more in parking park in Chicago,
exactly,
than you do on a train ticket.
They're going to have a healthy budget on marketing because with a state that's not used to having that kind of transportation, you got to get people used to it. Tell them it's okay, it's good, it's fun. Try it, and you got to take those leaps because we're not a mass transit state.
No, we're not.
No,
I mean,
we're not a mass transit country.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Right.
We really aren't. But again, Calvin, for you and your friends and our resident young peoples.
Tell us about the resident young people.
Tell us, speaking on behalf of your entire generation, Calvin, do you think your friends would welcome the opportunity to jump on a train instead of buying a car?
Well, I kind of might not be the best for this perspective because I do live
He's
in a
anti-train.
I'm not anti-train. I think it would be a great idea, and I think people would love it. But I come from a rural area of the state that the train would still probably be a 25-minute, half-hour drive for me.
Just to get to the train?
Just to get to the train.
Yeah.
So I personally wouldn't use it, but I can tell you that if you're in Madison and you want to go to Milwaukee, that drive would be a lot better. It's not a fun drive if you want to go party or have fun or anything like that. So,
well, yeah. And again, I think for younger people now that cars are so expensive.
Oh, everything is so expensive.
My first car cost me $8,000, and I thought that was a lot of money.
Mine was $3,000.
It was a lot of money. $8,000 was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. And now you can't get any. Can you get a new car for under $25,000?
I think you can, but I mean,
not a new. Get used.
Does it have wheels?
It's got to be small and everything. But like, I mean, I'm looking at getting a new car in either later next year or 2025, and I'm already starting to save my money. And my budget's not large. It's, yeah. I mean, and you think at this point I should be able to buy myself a $30,000 or $35,000. I can't.
It's just choking.
A couple years ago. Liz bought a car a couple of years ago, and it was an Equinox, and it had 40,000 miles on it, and it was 18,000.
Oh my God.
That's pretty reasonable.
I don't know. I bought my car in 2010 with 18,000 miles on it for, after everything was $18,000 with the loan and everything. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I can get a car between 25 and 30 grand, I'll be happy. Cause I know, cause I keep my cars for a long time.
Yeah.
So me that's too. Just, I'm not the type of person who goes 3-4 years.
And you know, with you, I have this issue cause you're tall.
I'm very
tall. You need something that gives you a little inside room.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I can't go into like a little teeny tiny
in our little Fiat 500. You would be crunched up like a
shit. That's why I love my Honda Insight. Honda Insight. It's small but tall.
844-967-2789. Pro choo choo or no choo?
No choo.
Wes from Middleton. Every time I drive from Madison to Milwaukee, I curse Scott Walker under my breath. When we go to Chicago, we drive to Milwaukee and take the Amtrak down. Yep. Other states like us, around us, like Illinois and Michigan, have comprehensive statewide train service. It's time we join the 21st century so we don't get left behind.
Yeah. I mean, you got two options for traveling to Chicago. You can take the Metra, which is a station right in Kenosha.
Right.
And then you can go, or you can take the Amtrak. And the Amtrak is a little faster because it's Metra is more commuter. It has stops.
Yeah.
But both are incredibly affordable, and you know, like you were saying, if you go to Chicago for a night, you're going to spend more in parking than you would in Ubers.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely, the parking in Chicago is really
ridiculous.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Texter from the 262 listening here on WAUK. I am definitely pro chew. I love taking the Hiawatha to Chicago. I went to UW Madison, but I can't remember how to navigate those two-way roads that turn into one-way roads. All roads lead to the Capitol. I would love to take the train into Madison. I would go much more often. And a note for you, Calvin, that is a song, the bumper music that you played. You definitely need to turn up when you're playing Classic Izzy. Just a little side note.
Ozzy.
Ozzy, yes.
We used to do it like now, at this time of year, when we would go and do like our shopping weekends or something like that, because it's just, so you grab your bags and you sit down and boom, you're there.
Yeah. It really is a great way to travel. 844-967-2789. Comment on the live stream. Yes, a train connecting everything is so needed. Yes, peace of mind and less drunk driving.
Well, yeah. And I always pick up the stop down by the airport. Because it's so easy to park. Yeah. I mean, there's always plenty of room. No, see, I'm giving away my secret. I don't want to see any of you there at the airport.
I mean, the Sturtevant station is really nice, too. The only thing I don't like about the Sturtevant station is you got to go up an elevator over because
you have to cross.
You have to cross. But that's nothing. That is nothing. But the Sturtevant's a good stop. We are just a bunch of, like, you know what's got a great train stop? Sturtevant. You know, but yeah, I mean,
where's your favorite train?
The little bit of mass transit we have, it's enjoyable and I'm glad we have it, and it'll be nice to have some more. And
again, this is not something that's gonna happen tomorrow.
No,
you
no.
know, this is gonna take quite some time. Yeah. And depending upon what administration is in power, that's gonna affect whether or not this moves forward. So that's something to keep in mind as well. We are coming up against the news. Stay with us. Drinking rules in Wisconsin have changed.
Drinking rules.
And wedding barn owners are not happy. That's all coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the Shaw WAUK
CBS News Brief. An F1 tornado touches down just south of Raleigh, North Carolina Sunday.
This man was in his home when the storm blew through.
Debris started flying inside the house. The tree fell and the ceiling started crushing in.
Maximum winds were 110 miles per hour. Israel is fighting Hamas across Gaza and not letting up. Correspondent Charlie Daggett has this update from Tel Aviv.
Israeli troops forging ahead after the U.S. blocked the latest U.N. Security Council attempts at a humanitarian ceasefire and promised the delivery of more weapons.
Controversial congressional testimony leads to University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill's resignation. Students are reacting.
President McGill didn't really seem to have a very strong grasp on the situation on the ground on campus.
There's a lot of tension on campus, and I really hope a lot of it starts to go down.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The amount of underage cigarette and vape sales in Wisconsin has more than doubled since 2019. That's according to the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, which sent underage customers to over 1,000 random retailers across the state. Around 13% of stores sold nicotine products to the underage customers. While federal law raised the minimum age to purchase tobacco in 2019, Wisconsin law has not, leaving some retailers confused about who they can and cannot sell to. While cigarette use has gone down in teens, vaping use has gone up. A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers has been mixed. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 23 overnight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 34. Lows around 26. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha and going out across our beautiful state. Hello, Wausau. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane and Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
We have been talking about Wisconsin's going to get $2.5 million in federal money, part of the bipartisan infrastructure bill. I know, we're getting along. To look at expanding passenger rail in the states, they are going to look at a line from Milwaukee to Green Bay, connecting Milwaukee to Minneapolis through Madison and Eau Claire, a line connecting Eau Claire to St. Paul, a line through La Crosse running to Chicago and St. Paul, and then improving Amtrak's existing line between Milwaukee and Chicago. 844-967-2789. We did get a text on the text line. I've ridden the Amtrak Downeaster twice from Maine to get to Boston's Logan Airport and back. The time is about the same as driving. Parking is cheaper. Seats a bit more comfortable than having to drive myself. But 541 says, if you live near a station, it's beneficial. Otherwise, we are still pretty dependent upon vehicle ownership. Like Calvin mentioned, if you're 35 minutes away from the station, I guess that's not exactly the best deal.
Yeah.
Our own Civic Media's Mike Clemens is on the line. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Mike.
You put on a lot of miles traveling across our fair state, don't you?
Just pulling out of Lambeau Field and listening to our station in Green Bay. By the way, you guys are doing a great job with this show.
Well, thank you.
And I'm hearing the topic now. Jane, you know me. I'm going to go long here, but there will be a point. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
You ready?
Take it away.
Okay. All right. And there, for many years, he's no longer on the air, there was a far right-wing guy who fought any kind of public transportation talk in Milwaukee and seemed to be pretty effective. And I always wondered where this guy was getting his numbers from. Here's what I know. If your grandparents and your great-grandparents, when they were coming downtown to Milwaukee to work at the breweries or the other industries, they loved the public transportation. They hopped on you know, North 5th Street. They took the down there, didn't have to worry about cars, didn't have to worry about parking. They ran all day long. And even in the 60s and 70s, you could still see some of those electric buses going through the downtown. And when I was 20, I got a job at the Journal Sentinel newsroom, and I lived on the east side on Downer and Park, and I took the bus every day because it saved me so much more money as a student trying to learn, you know, the news business at the paper. I once saw a documentary that said, you know, those things were so popular in every city. And then about the 1930s and 40s, there was these companies that were buying up all the rail systems or buying them off of cities and say, we'll run them. And they ran them into the ground. And eventually, around 1950, there were congressional hearings. They found out that the people buying them were actually Standard Oil and Firestone Tires. They were trying to put the trolleys out of business so they could sell more cars.
There's a big shocker, Mike.
Well, I mean, I was jaw-dropping. One of my teachers at UWM was Frank Zeidler, the mayor of Milwaukee in the 1950s, who brought you I-94 from downtown Milwaukee out to Waukesha, an interstate under Eisenhower's administration, who helped build County Stadium and drew the Boston Braves to Milwaukee, who won a World Series in 57. But Frank, as the mayor, kept on his home at about North and Fifth Street because I became friends with him. You know, he's the guy that they named the Frank Zeidler Park and building out of in downtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's very, very famous in Milwaukee. He's worshipped there.
So I'm wondering, Mike, are you pro-choo-choo or are you anti-choo?
You'll find out in just a second.
No.
Okay. Frank, there is a time limit, you know.
For the rest of his life, he took the bus downtown or wherever you want to promote public transportation. Now, years later, I have gone to 18 Super Bowls. Do you know what's in every Super Bowl city?
A train.
Yeah.
Even when you're in Phoenix, spread out Phoenix with all those beautiful interstates, and really not too bad of traffic, but millions of people. I'm standing downtown Phoenix by where the Diamondbacks play and where the convention center was for the NFL Super Bowl. And here comes a train, a trolley. Same thing in Minneapolis. They've got a wonderful metro system that takes you in and out of the downtown. And one time when Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, was in Racine County to donate about $250,000 for a new high school football field, the Hiawatha, the Amtrak that runs from Milwaukee to Chicago, stopped by at the very nice Sturtevant station. And he said, "Wow, look at that." And I said, "Yeah, this great. It's a great thing for me to hop on from Mount Pleasant down to Chicago." He says, "I would love to get one of those from Milwaukee to Green Bay."
So it sounds like, Mike, it sounds like you're on board with trains then.
Yeah, Mark Murphy has said, "I would love to have a train from Green Bay to Milwaukee because he worries about safety after fans have been partying at a Packers game."
Absolutely. I
mean, it's ridiculous that we don't have the public transportation that we used to have back when Frank Seidler was the mayor.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael. Be careful on the road because I know you are always, always on the road. 844-967-2789. Tom from West Allis. Good morning, Tom. What do you think about looking at expanding rail in Wisconsin?
I am 100% for it. I have taken the train to Chicago many times. I've taken it to Manhattan a bunch of times. It is just so easy. I've driven out there too, and man, I would rather much take the train. But I want to just add to this too, the Hop streetcar here in Milwaukee. Over the summer, there were a couple of times I had to go down to the Third Ward. One was during Mexican Fiesta, or it's called, and it was just stupid amounts of traffic. I parked over by Cathedral Square Park, and I took the Hop right downtown, right through. I missed all that. I walked a few blocks, and there I was. Mm-hmm. And when I left, I just walked back, got in my car, parked for free, and it was great. We really need to expand the Hop as well, go past the Fiserv, and all around our heaviest areas, because it would really expand. And to the traffic for the train and everything, yeah, Chicago people could come up if they could make it go past the stadium. Like I heard one proposal, we could, we would have a boom here with that.
Yeah, and that's what they plan on actually doing. They're going to be expanding that Hop over the next few years. Like I said earlier, the powers that be did not do a good job of getting that point across to the people when it first was proposed, passed, and implemented.
The Republicans all hate it.
Oh yeah,
you know, and that's another big problem. They I do not understand why they are so anti anything to build up this city, to build up this state, because no, we've got a kibosh. No one's going to ride the train. I remember Belling back when they were going to do Milwaukee Madison. He was saying that for the cost that it's going to take to do that, we could buy almost everybody a brand new Jaguar.
Oh, jeez.
That's not how math works.
That's really funny, Tom. And I think the other thing we have to keep in mind as well is there, like Mike Clemens pointed out, automakers don't want us riding trains, and neither do the road builders and the lobbying groups for all these construction companies in Wisconsin. They don't want us riding trains either.
And the politicians who are in the pockets of those groups.
Of those groups, exactly. They don't want us riding on trains either.
But, yeah.
I don't know that. I mean,
no, it's true. It's very true because I've been in meetings. I've gotten the notes. The lobbies, their biggest fear is that people aren't going to be driving on those roads. Those roads they spend billions
in. Keep them in cars.
To expand the roads. It's terrible because, like, people are going to still buy cars. You're going to still buy a car. I'm still going to buy a car.
I'll probably still buy a car.
Calvin, even though he's a resident young person, he'll buy a car. So, yeah, I mean, it just sucks. That's
part of our culture, though. Yeah. You know, that's ingrained in us. I mean, that's why, you know, when you go over to Europe and everybody's walking, they don't need a car. But that's who we are.
Absolutely.
But again, I think for younger generations, as this stuff becomes available, it's going to become more part of the norm.
Yeah.
We just don't have that many options right now. Mm-hmm. So you have to buy a car.
Right. Right.
And for there are people who cannot afford cars.
Correct. Correct.
Well, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, we got to do something about that, too. We got to get those prices down. I know it's not probably going to happen, but yet, you know, we have to start, you know, pulling the plug on some of this stuff.
It will be interesting. Again, this is going to be a very long process. And if we do not have an administration in the governor's office that's supportive of this, then that's probably just going to get killed.
What they have to do is they have to start construction. Once they start construction,
then you're committed.
You're committed.
All right, we're going to talk real quickly about another thing that Governor Evers signed this week, a massive overhaul of Wisconsin's alcohol regulations.
Yes. So it's a multi-tiered kind of a thing.
Yes.
And it's, you know, some people are the expanding of the hours, especially when the RNC is here, like wineries, they want the wineries to be able to stay open as long as the bars.
Right.
That's part of it.
Right.
And when the RNC comes, you know, maybe expand it to 4 a.m. for the night owls. Then you've got the retail possibilities of, instead of breweries just selling their own stuff, they can bring stuff in from another brewery.
In another state.
Right, exactly. The wedding venue thing, I have not been to a wedding at a barn. So I'm not exactly sure. Do you guys, I don't even know, what's the regulations right now with the wedding barn situation when it comes to liquor?
I believe people can bring their own.
They have to bring their own.
They have to bring their own, is my understanding.
Well, if it's just a barn, if it's a barn operating as an event space, they can get a liquor license. I know people who own venues, and I've been to a wedding at a barn, and there was hired bar service. They didn't have, so I'm guessing that what they had to get was like a one day only caterer's license.
Okay.
But if you are an event venue, that's hard to say, event venue, I believe you at this point still can obtain a regular liquor license.
Yeah, it says here it requires them to get a new type of license if they plan on serving liquor. Yeah.
And it's very restrictive as well, because it limits the days the bars can be rented or leased out.
Right.
It's pretty narrow. I mean, they have two ways to go. They can get a liquor license or they can get this special permit.
Yeah.
But if you get this special permit, you're only allowed to have one event a month and six maximum for the year.
It just seems prohibitive and just arbitrary.
Yeah.
Is there that much competition among wedding venues that now we have to kill the wedding barns?
I mean, honestly, the venues are everywhere. But it's like, if we're not imposing these kind of restrictions on bars, why are we imposing them on? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like,
it's such an outlier.
Right.
Right. It's just such an outlier. Like, why? I would, if I was a wedding barn owner, I would. Why are you picking on me?
Yeah.
And, well, my big problem with this whole thing is the hours. I mean,
being open until 4 a.m.?
I don't see any reason why we need more hours to drink. We seem to be able to cram. Listen, I worked St. Paddy's Day down at, you know, Hooligans many, many years in a row. And between 6 and 8 in the morning, and when they open those doors, you'd be amazed how much liquor flowed through people between 6 and 8 in the morning. They were just pounding stuff. So why do we need to add more hours? I don't want to pick on the wineries. If they want to expand until when the bars close, that's
right.
Fine.
That seems fair.
But I, yeah, exactly.
I mean, to me, it just seems like they're trying to see the RNC as a special event like they would. Because
New Year's
and St. Paddy's Day, I believe bars are open, can be open for 24 hours. You can get special licenses. So if it's all the time, I don't think we need to be a 4 a.m. city. But if it's for the RNC, I understand for those 3 or 4 days, because they want to make a little more money, because they're going to come in, they're going to party, and they're going to spend a lot of money. But no, if it's for like every day, I don't think that's necessary.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in on this, 844-96-PARTY. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay close. We'll be right back across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I've seen your boat there.
I've been to Margaritaville a few times.
All right. Well, that's good.
Just come on my way back.
Okay. We just want to make sure you can keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
All right. Well, it's 5 o'clock. Let's go somewhere.
I'm ready. Crank it up.
Let's get out of here.
I'm gone.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kinn, and Greg Bach with me in studio. Galvin is on the board, and you can always check in too at 844-967-2789. I want to remind you to download the wonderful, fabulous, easy-to-use Civic Media app.
For free.
For free, absolutely. And we actually got an email that I found this morning from Thomas. And he said, I have been using the Civic Media app to listen to local Wisconsin radio stations across the state. I love it.
Oh, nice.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's so, like when I used to work in government and someone would send you a letter and be like, you guys are doing a great job. You're like, let's go to their house and bring them a snack. It's so nice.
And what's great about the app, too, is that you can call and text directly.
Yes.
From the app. So
that's fantastic.
That's pretty slick, too.
Yep.
We did want to remember John Lennon on this date in 1980 when he was tragically murdered in front of the Dakota in Manhattan. He was only 40 years old.
Yeah, he was real young. He was very young.
That's just so sad.
He was my dad's age. Like that, they had the same. They were born within a couple months of each other. And
wow.
Yeah, just the idea of like, whoa.
It was almost like time stood still. Everybody was just. It was like stunned. When JFK was shot. Mm-hmm. It was like, what in the heck is happening here? And apparently, Mark David Chapman tried on the 6th, he tried on the 7th, and he finally got his opportunity on the 8th. So this dude was committed.
Yeah.
And I read you off the air when we were here, when he was in front of the parole board and being denied for the 12th time, he said, I knew what I was doing. I knew what was wrong. I knew what was evil, but I wanted the fame so badly that I was willing to go out and kill someone. I mean, he was, you know, a little...
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But I mean, I was in college.
So I was in broadcasting school.
Yeah, I was in college.
I was too.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Oh, shut up.
Calvin wasn't even a glimmer in his parents' eye at that point.
Calvin, were your parents even married in 1980?
No.
Okay.
No, that's hilarious.
They were probably like 12.
Yeah.
My dad would have been 17 and my mom was 10.
Oh, great. Now I know I can be Calvin's grandma. But you know what? I took Liz to the Dakota because I thought she's my classic rocker to begin with. And she loves the Beatles. And we always used to take a trip to New York. And I thought this is something that she probably would really like to see. And we were standing outside and they have like these stations outside the Dakota where the guards like stand. It's almost very London-esque, if you will.
Oh, interesting.
And so we were kind of walking around. We had come over from Strawberry Field, and we were kind of walking around, and this gentleman who was probably my age now came out, and he said, I was working when that happened.
Oh, my.
He says, I was here when that happened. And he said, I saw Mark David Chapman, you know, getting their autographs and then pulling the gun. And he said, it was just the most surreal thing that I have ever witnessed in my entire life. You know, and Lennon, it was immediate. Like, he died almost instantaneously.
Almost instantly, yep.
But I would encourage anyone, if you do get to Manhattan, it's just something to pay homage, because he was such an icon and so talented.
And I think he was kind.
Yes.
I think he was a kind human
That's
being.
That's part of the problem is what happened to him.
Yes.
Because Mark David Chapman came running up to him, Mr. Lennon, Mr. Lennon.
Will you sign this for me?
Right. And Lennon turned around and he was shot before there were photographers there. And Mark David Chapman turned to one of the photographers and allegedly said, I'm waiting to get Yoko's autograph too. And then he shot Lennon. No, I mean, it was, I you know, I know you were two.
I was two.
I was at work. I remember this very distinctly because I was going to broadcasting school during the day. And then I was a data entry operator for Penny's at night from like 6 until midnight. It was a glamour job. I was very fast. I was a very fast typist. But I do remember with such clarity that a girlfriend called me at work, yeah, which was very unusual. And she's in tears and she's sobbing and she's, John Lennon is dead. What?
Yeah.
John Lennon is dead. And as you said, Carol, there was this, it was stunning.
Yeah.
It was, this can't be. How could this happen?
And when you, what's so interesting is the impact that he made and the impression that he made on people, it really does continue. If you go to Strawberry Field across the street,
mm-hmm, which I've been to and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But you, as you well know, then you've got people that are sitting around, they're meditating, they're playing their guitar, yep, they're singing Lennon songs, they're dropping flowers. So, I mean, it just, and it's like also what happened with Lady Di. You know, when Princess Di died, you know, people were just like, what? What? It just doesn't compute.
And yeah, it doesn't seem real.
Right.
It doesn't seem real.
It like almost throws down a thing of like the world before Kennedy was shot and the world after Kennedy was shot, the way we look at things before. I mean, rock stars didn't get, like, rock stars died. They usually died in plane crashes. They died of drug overdoses.
Right.
But this was like a horrible, violent crime. And it changes the culture's perspective on things because now it's something that can happen. It's a massive, yeah, it's a massive part of our consciousness.
Well, and look at what kind of security. I mean, he had no security around him, yeah, whatsoever. And look at the kind of security that is following these rock. Look what happened with Taylor Swift. She was surrounded by security.
Yeah.
And because it's just,
they have to be. They have
to be. They have to be.
They have to.
It's insurance problems. It's sure, like those individuals are insured.
Sure.
Yeah. So well, I'm waiting to hear back from her. I texted my mom just to see where were you when you found out when Lennon was shot, because that's one of those
markers.
Things. Those,
it's a marker.
You know, yeah, it just,
remembering John Lennon.
Yeah.
43 years ago.
Yeah.
Would have been 83.
Wow. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Dr. Michael McCutcheon will be here to fix your life. If you have relationship questions, career questions, you can always text him in at 844-967-2789. 1133, Civic Media's Pete Schwabba going to join us to talk about his new show, Nightlife with Pete Schwabba, that you can hear across the network Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. News is next. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.